from the University of Chicago and made possible by a generous grant from the John Templeton Foundation. This is Virtue Talk, a podcast exploring the work of the scholars affiliated with the project Virtue, Happiness, and the Meaning of Life. You can find out more about us at virtue.uchicago.edu and our blog, thevirtueblog.com.
How do children come to learn about what's good to eat and what's not good to eat? And our hypothesis is that a lot of early learning is really not about food per se, but really it's learning about people. And it's learning about the kinds of people who eat different foods and the cultural practices that surround food.
Today's podcast features Katherine Kinsler, Associate Professor of Psychology and Human Development at Cornell University. Before that, Kinsler was a Neubauer Family Assistant Professor and then Associate Professor in Psychology at the University of Chicago. Kinsler is also one of the scholars with Virtue, Happiness, and the Meaning of Life. This recording was made at our June 2016 working group meeting.
I'm a developmental psychologist, and I focus on issues really that are about adults in many ways, in the sense that I'm interested in studying children to understand adults. I'm interested in human social behavior, how we become the really complicated social creatures that we are as adults. So, you know, both good aspects of our social lives and negative aspects, things like prejudice and discrimination. And a lot of my work focuses on how these tendencies emerge throughout childhood. So I'm working on a few different things. One thing that I've been interested in for a long time is the question about how language and accent mark human social groups. So the idea is that when you hear how somebody sounds, you infer a lot of information about who that person is. And I find that accent matters more than race in how children evaluate other people. So in some ways, this speaks to, you know, some negative aspects of human nature, in the sense of, you know, I think something that's really close to xenophobia that's emerging early in life. On the other hand, I think this presents a note of optimism when we think about how race-based attitudes develop, that a lot of times things that might look like early racial attitudes might actually be quite malleable based on early experiences. And so I think that racism is not something that has to happen in all societies. I'm also interested in how we think about linguistic diversity. So one thing is from the perspective of when we meet somebody who sounds different, what do we think about that person? But the other side of that is what happens when a child grows up in an environment in which different languages are spoken. And so in my research that I conducted at the University of Chicago with some colleagues there, we find that American children who are exposed to more than one language early in life are better at taking the perspective of somebody else. And so often when we communicate, you don't just attend to the literal content of what somebody's saying, but you think about, what does that person know or not know? What is she intending to tell me? And so we play a communication game with children and even with babies too. We've done it with a couple of different, slightly different methods. And we find that children who are exposed to a multilingual environment, even if those children don't speak more than one language themselves, so even if they're effectively monolingual in the sense that they really only speak English, but yet they're exposed to another language. So for instance, they might have a nanny or a grandparent who sometimes speaks to them in a different language. Those children who have this early multilingual exposure are better than monolingual children at taking the perspective of somebody else. So what I think is happening there is that by being in a multilingual environment, kids are getting a lot of practice in perspective taking. They're thinking about things like who speaks what to whom, who understands which language, and these are social challenges that kids who just hear one language simply don't face. So as a result of that experience, I think that they really become better communicators, even if it's just within one language. Okay, there's another thing that I'm interested in is about early food selection. There's a puzzle in how we develop our food preferences. So you might think that, you know, given the evolutionary significance and importance of food selection, you don't want to mess up, you don't want to eat something that's really dangerous. You might think that even young children would be really good at figuring out what's safe to eat and what's not. But in fact, there's a lot of, you know, both research and just evidence any parent can tell you that kids are not very good at selecting foods early in life. You know, babies lick anything that seems really disgusting to parents. They put disgusting foods in their mouths. Young children are, you know, will eat something that's dangerous or toxic if it's not safely locked up. And so my colleagues and I have been interested in how do children come to learn about what's good to eat and what's not good to eat. And our hypothesis is that a lot of early learning is really not about food per se, but really it's learning about people. And it's learning about the kinds of people who eat different foods and the cultural practices that surround foods. For adults, food is really social and cultural. And even though we might have the same basic biological tendencies to like something over others, cultures converge on really different food practices and really different foods that are considered good to eat or valued to eat in some way. And so I think that kids are really attentive of the social and cultural significance of food. And in some of my research, we look at how children see food selection. They see other people's food choices as suggesting something about their social relationships and their cultural group membership. Being at this working group meeting this June with really a range of interdisciplinary scholars has been really interesting to me. I'm a psychologist, and there are a few other psychologists in the room, but there are people with such different experiences and knowledge bases and literatures and methods that they use. But I've been sitting there and, as people talk, writing down questions, this is a question, this is clearly, a clear problem in ethics, but it's also a problem in developmental psychology. And so I've been sitting there and noting places where I think there's really exciting potential points of contact and how learning about how scholars in really different fields, how learning about how they're thinking about problems might inform my own work or might actually push me to ask slightly different questions about understanding the origins of human nature from the questions that I would have just asked, had I stayed in my own discipline.
You've been listening to Catherine Kinsler, who is Associate Professor of Psychology and Associate Professor of Human Development at Cornell University and scholar with our project, Virtue, Happiness, and the Meaning of Life. You can find out more about Dr. Kinsler and our project at thevirtueblog.com and virtue.uchicago.edu. Thank you to the John Templeton Foundation for their generous support and to Alexandre Navarro for our music.